Welcome to this Words of Life radio broadcast coming to you from the auditorium of Arlington Baptist Church in Bryson City, North Carolina. Before Pastor Spencer comes with today's message, let me invite you to worship with Arlington Baptist Church. They're located on Hughes Branch Road in Bryson City. Just turn onto Hughes Branch Road at the Ingalls Store on Route 19 and go half a mile. The church will be on your right. Join them for Sunday school at 10 a.m. and the morning worship service at 11. Now let's join Dr. Spencer for today's message from God's Word.
When Julius Caesar invaded the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, he took a bold and a decisive step to ensure that his men would fight for victory. He ordered his men to march up to the cliffs of Dover. And as they marched there and they looked down over where they had landed, they saw that all of their ships were on fire. He did that to encourage his men that you have one way out of this, and that is to fight and to win. They had to get serious about fighting. They had to get serious about moving forward. In the light of Christ's return, now is the time to really get serious about serving God. We're looking in Romans chapter 13 today. Paul gives instructions, and he's in 12 chapters leading up to this chapter, he has given a number of practical things in the Christian life that we ought to be observing, some that we should not be observing, things like that. And he gets to chapter 13, and he begins to kind of wrap it all up with this chapter. And one way or the other, this chapter demands from us a decision concerning our Christian life. That decision affects us for all of eternity. This passage calls for a firm commitment decision, you see. We ought to get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to get excited that he's soon to come, folks. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. In the light of his coming, here's what Paul says. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You have the opportunity of determining the blessings of heaven for you, you see. Now, the very least we're going to have is going to be far beyond our imagination. But we can also lay up treasures in heaven and look forward to that as well. He gives us now the gift of time to live for him. He gives us the gift of time to serve him, the gift of time to win our loved ones to Christ, the gift of time to teach our children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, by the way, our grandchildren, we can influence them. He gives us that time. He gives us time to make an impact on others. Because one day, Romans 14, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Daniel Webster was asked one day, he was a brilliant orator, brilliant in wisdom and all of that, and one day he was asked, sir, what's the greatest thought that ever entered your mind? And that quick, without even a moment's hesitation, he answered, he said, that I will one day give account to God for the life I have lived. That's an awesome thought, folks. One day, I will give account for the life that I have lived. You have that opportunity today. Every day, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ gets closer, one day closer. Many view faith as a kind of a, look, I'm all of this, but I'm also a Christian. Kind of add it in there, you see. And they make it a part of their lives, or maybe even an important part of their lives. But it's just not viewed as the entire focus of the life, you see. Stop and think. If the Bible, if this book is true, and it is, but if this book is true, that all people are sinners, that all people need salvation, and it is true, that our sin separated us from God, who made us, and that is true, and if we are doomed outside of Christ for hell, and that is true without Christ, that God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, and that is true according to the Word. And that we who are saved live in assurance of heaven, and that's true. Thank God for that. And we who are saved will one day be like the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's true according to the Word. And if, as believers, we're destined to share heaven with God and all of His angels, and that's true, then, my friend, there's not a thing in your life that you have ever done or ever will do that is more important than the life you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I urge believers. We have a group here, but we have them on Facebook. We'll have them on our website. And I urge you to consider, stop being casual about your faith. Let's stop being lazy about it. Let's stop playing church. And it's not a fire drill. This is it. This is all we've got. And it's now or never. We influence others for Christ now. We live for Christ and build up our reward in heaven now. And we give Him center place now, or we answer for it later on, you see. In this chapter, in verse 11, Paul tells believers it's time to wake up out of the sleep. In verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now, Paul is not talking to unbelievers here. He's talking to Christians, you see. He isn't issuing an evangelistic call to salvation. Paul is talking to those who are believers and are saved, and he uses a special word. He says to wake out of the sleep. It's interesting, that Greek word there in that verse it's a little different than the one used for just when the sleep of death, as he uses it for Christians. This one's a different word. This is a word that has the idea of almost like hypnosis, or to be kind of a drowsy, or we call it a la-la land, you see. And Paul says, wake up out of the la-la land. That time of the rapture is getting close. And Paul calls for our attention. Most Christians living in a daze. Let me read you something that was written concerning our days and times. Things on earth are rapidly forming themselves toward a crisis in human history, such as the Bible predicts. Israel is back in the land as a nation among nations. False doctrine is sweeping the church. Russia is an ever-present menace. We seem always to be on the edge of war. World chaos seems to need a leader to straighten it out. Time is running out. It is later than we think. And we're on the threshold of the rapture of the church. And after that, of course, the tribulation and the second coming of Christ. That, my friend, was written by Kenneth Wiest 65 years ago. If what he said there was true then, how much more is it true today? I mean, the last couple of years ought to show us the direction things are moving. They're calling now for a digital currency and do away with cash whatsoever. You see, why would they do that? Because, you see, with digital currency, they can track whatever you do. They can know what you buy, when you buy it, how much you paid for it. And if they choose, they can send out a signal and you can't buy a thing. If that doesn't talk about things that are going to be affected during the tribulation period, then, folks, I don't understand a thing of this word, you see. Kenneth Wiest said that in 1955. Matthew chapter 16, verse 2 and 3, he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times, you see? The answer is most Christians are not. And perhaps most of the blame why most Christians are not seeing the signs of the times is the fact that the indications of prophecy are not being preached in many pulpits. Many pulpits do not preach prophecy. Prophecy is preached very little in these churches, sometimes never. And it leaves Christians to be confused about God's plan. You know, I'm one of these folks. I like to know what's coming ahead. My wife, when she was teaching, she was a typical elementary preschool teacher. She had everything organized, planned out just right, and don't mess up her schedule. Now, I was a high school principal for a while. In high school, I was used to it. Schedules got messed up all the time in high school. Sporting events, special events, you know, all of that would take and just disrupt the schedule. My nature could take that. But my daughter and my wife, elementary teachers, and I found out this is true, all elementary teachers, they like their schedule, don't mess with it. I like to know what's coming. And God says, this is coming. And he's let us know that what's coming, you see. Look at what we've learned about even our government. Now, I recognize that the virus is real and all that, but we've learned how quickly the government can almost take a stranglehold on the economy, on people, and on individual lives. This is not the bark of the beast, but I guarantee you, it shows evidence of how quickly that could come about, you see. What are some indications that the world is ready to accept extreme measures? Groups and nations all over the world are pushing for that cashless society, and they're gaining support every day, you see. Bill Gates, we were talking earlier, Bill Gates has suggested that everybody has a chip put in their hand, he says a hand, or the forehead. And that would be evidence that you've had the vaccine for the virus, you see. And if you haven't got that chip, therefore, you can't buy or sell. Now, Bill Gates doesn't know anything about the Word of God, I'm sure. From things he says, he doesn't know it, or he ignores it. But I'm going to tell you something. To hear that come from the mouth of someone who seems to have the attention of the media ought to send chills up and down our spine to hear that. It's exactly what the devil's going to want to do. And it'll happen in this tribulation period. But if it's being talked about now over here, then believe me, folks, the rapture's getting very close. Very close. Many Christians know so little about prophetic scriptures that they simply don't see these things as a problem. Revelation chapter 13. Verse 16 and 17, and he causeth all, both great or small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of the name, you see. So that's going to happen in here, but it's prophesied, and folks, it's getting closer. Christians ought to wake up and see what is happening in the world, you see. Political actions move closer and closer to the end time. The U.S. has recognized the embassy in Israel in Jerusalem, you see. Others are following that example. Some Arab nations saw that and they threatened war. And some even signed on to that idea. Some anticipate a type of peace in the Middle East. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. However, and I'm all for peace. If we could have peace, that'd be a wonderful thing. But folks, we're not going to have actual peace in the Middle East until the Antichrist makes that agreement pact with Israel. And when he does, everything's about to break loose, you see. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and when they shall say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You talk about storms and disasters and all of that and the weather. And we get it in Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. And remember, when these things are happened, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, weather patterns like this, these are going to occur in the tribulation period. We're getting natural disasters that are coming, and they're just going to multiply end over end when it comes to this tribulation. National unrest and rioting is a part of it, you see. In Luke chapter 21, verse 9, and when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. Notice he said wars and commotions. Violence between nations, between groups, and commotion. He's talking about lawlessness in the streets, as it were. And that's going to occur. And it's already beginning to happen. Persecution of believers gets closer and closer than it has ever been in America. Professional rioters have taken the place of protesters. Legitimate protests become riots because of those that infuse themselves into it, you see. Franklin Graham leads in prayer at the Republican National Convention, and all over the country they call for his resignation from Samaritan's Purse. Why? Because he had the audacity to lead in prayer at a political organization when he was invited, you see. Revelation 13, verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints during this tribulation. Let me challenge you to pray about this. Pray and ask God to show you if you're a sleepy Christian. Pray and ask God to reveal to you where you might be dozing off, some area of your life that you're kind of dozing off and coasting. Pray and ask God to set you afire with expectation of His return and set you afire to reach out to others and try to win them to Christ. Draw them in under the sound of the Word of God, you see. Well, he says in the next verse, he said, now that you wake up, awake out of your sleep. Now, Paul says, get dressed for war. Get dressed for battle. In verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The night is far spent. The reference to our age, it refers to that church age, you see. We're late in the church age. And I point like this because I've often thought our auditorium is well laid out. Because these pews over here we can call the church age. That aisle there is the rapture. Where most of you are sitting, I'm afraid, is the tribulation. And then over here we have the second coming. And you folks, you made a good choice. You're in the millennial kingdom over there, you see. Well, let me tell you something. You see where Brother Jack's sitting? Right? Way over to this. I know she's going to move over here now. But he's sitting way. That's because we're in this church age, folks. We're right over here at the edge, ready for this rapture to take place. Jim and I were talking this morning. He said he's ready for it. I'm ready for it. I'm anxious for it. Lord can come any time. It'll please me to no end, you see. And then he says, now that you're awake and you are properly dressed, he said, now it's time to march. In verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. He said, let's get ready and march. I didn't have the privilege of serving in the military. 1970, I took my physical, Fort Jackson, South Carolina, when I got to the end of the physical, they took a card and stamped me for it. If they didn't like my blood pressure, I could have told them I didn't care for it either, but wasn't anything I could do about it. So they stamped it. I didn't get to go in the military. But I understand that when they send our soldiers to foreign fields, that they receive instructions. Some of them live in Islamic countries, and They've got to have instructions about how you don't just walk up and start talking to a woman on the streets of Baghdad or something. That can be dangerous, folks. And so they get instructions on how they are to act. Let me tell you something. Word of God gives us instructions on how we as soldiers of Christ are to act, you see. So we get the instructions from His Word. So I pray, ask God how you're walking. Ask Him how to show you things that you may need to change so that your walk is more honoring to the uniform of Christianity that we wear, you see. And then Paul urges us that being awake and dressed and now marching, Paul says, stay focused. Stay focused. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When we put on Christ, we have a new identity. We have a new direction. We have a new purpose in our lives. We now wear the uniform of God's army. And we're on duty, by the way, 24/7. We're never off duty. We are never to forget who we represent. We are to stay focused on His marching orders, exactly what He told us to do. We don't get time off from representing the Lord Jesus Christ. I married this woman 53 years ago. Never had a day off since. She's been my wife every day, 24/7. Wouldn't change it for the world. It's gotten better over the years. But there are some things we do that when we enlist, folks, that's it. We're 24/7. And when you took Christ as your Savior, you entered into His army, and you are 24/7 a representative of God Almighty. And we need to walk accordingly. So what is all this telling us? Well, it tells me to keep my heart right with God because Christ is coming. Moment by moment confession. You know, I don't wait. I like digital banking because I can check my phone. I know exactly what's in my account. I know what's been withdrawn. I watch my bills. They get withdrawn. I can do that every day. I wasn't real good at taking once a month and balancing a checkbook. But with that digital thing, I can look every day. You and I ought to be taking account moment by moment every day. You can't wait even to the end of the day. Something happens and you spout off something that's wrong. You know that's sin against God. You better not wait till the end of the day because you might get busy and at the end of the day you forget that you've sinned against God. Now most of us don't make it that long. Most of us, if we wait to the end of the day to confess every wicked thought, every word that proceeded that was not glorifying to God, there's no way we can account for all those things because most of us don't sin once in 24 hours. I dare say most of us don't sin once an hour. We sin much more often than that. I've said it numerous times. I've been saved 56 years. I know a bit more of this book than I did 56 years ago. I don't believe that I sin more than I did 56 years ago. But it's like walking into a dark basement room or something, and you feel just fine. Then you flip the light on, you see where all the bugs are scurrying for the corners, you see. The more light I have, the more in my life I recognize that is sin. And therefore, the more daily, every day, that I find it necessary to confess. But I don't wait. When that sin occurs, I may be driving. Don't close my eyes when I'm praying when I drive. But I may be driving. I may be doing something else. But I'll stop right then and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. Forgive me for that. Keep short accounts with God. It also tells me to reach everybody I possibly can with this gospel message because Christ is coming soon. Don't assume that you've got time. And folks, you are not responsible. I have some issue. We've used the term, and I've used it all my 56 years, but the term soul winning. No, you're a witness, and you got to be a faithful witness. You don't win a soul. You give them the Word of God. And you pray that God's Holy Spirit takes a hold of their heart and moves. Because if God's Spirit isn't working, they're not going to get saved. So you plant the seed. And you do it faithfully. And you try to be faithful with it. They call it soul winning. Winning a soul, because most Christians don't do it. But even if you do it, you got to recognize you're just giving out God's Word. And that's what He tells us to do. It's God, who's His Holy Spirit, who's going to draw them and with them. But you've got to give the Word out. It tells me I must be conscious of the impending return of Christ, and I have to be that every single day. Wake up in the morning, and you ought to look at the first thought in our minds ought to be, maybe today. Get ready to go to bed at night, and you crawl into that sack, and the last thought at night ought to be, maybe tonight. Maybe tonight is coming. I want to be doing exactly what God has told me to do. May 19th, 1780. The sky over Hartford, Connecticut darkened, got so black, people became frightened. I mean, they literally looked up and it was like nighttime. And they got scared. State legislators were in session. And they looked out that window when everything got dark and they got frightened. And the Speaker of the House was calling for order. And he said, the day of judgment is here. It's coming. Or not the Speaker, but one of them said, it's coming. We need to disperse and go on to our homes and all. It was the Speaker that stood up and said, you know, this could be the judgment day. It's either coming or it is not coming. If it is not coming, then there's no cause to adjourn. If it is, then I choose to be right here doing my duty, doing what God has told me to do. Therefore, let's bring in candles and light them and keep on with our business. I don't know if when the Lord comes, I'd be privileged to be in a pulpit preaching. I don't know if I'd be at home studying. I might be out putting bird seed in a bird feeder. Or she might be out watering her little garden. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. When the Lord comes, I want to be exactly in the place and doing exactly what God has told me to do at that moment when He comes. So Paul is saying, look, wake up out of this slumber, this haze, this la-la land that so many Christians live in. Get dressed for the battle. Put on the armor of the Word of God and be ready. March in step in obedience with the Lord Jesus Christ and stay focused on the task till the moment He comes.
Thank you for joining us for the Words of Life broadcast. You may have questions about God's Word or your Christian life. Pastor Spencer would love to have the opportunity to answer your questions. You may send your questions by email to lspencer1146@gmail.com. Again, that's lspencer1146@gmail.com. Until next week at this same time, may God bless you.